sabotaging one another, and they just could not seem to come together. As a matter of fact, when you watch the movie, almost half of the whole movie is about them trying to figure out how to get over their own personal agenda. While they were fighting one another, the antagonists in the movie anticipated that they weren't going to be able to get along. I wish I had some help right there. He anticipated that they weren't going to lay aside their own agenda, that they would not ultimately come together and unite to fight against, because he knew if they never came together, he would ultimately have the victory. So in the midst of all this chaos, Nick Fury says something. He says, "I had hoped and I dreamed that all of these individuals will come together and be more than just individuals, that they will be able to come together and be a team so that they can be able to defend the earth when needed." But it only happened. They only came together. They only made it a point to work together after one important event happened. Agent Coulson died. He laid down his life. His blood was shed. And it was that moment they galvanized, they came together, and they were able to fight their enemy. Well, the same is happening for the body of Christ. That in some instances, in all instances, we are all gifted. I got two amens on that. We're all gifted. We're all talented. God has graced us with something. If we're not careful, we won't come together if we have our own agenda. And while we're fighting one another, while we're backbiting against one another, the enemy is sitting back anticipating they'll never come together. They'll never have their gifts come together so that they can fight against me. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood so that we can lay aside our own personal agendas, so that we can come together, united under the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we can push back the darkness. So as we think about this whole idea of getting plugged in, let me be very clear. As I said in the very first week, and I'm saying it again today, we need you. Tell your neighbor, we need you. In the first week, when we talked about getting plugged in, we understood this one principle. To be plugged in simply means, first and foremost, I know that whatever God's called me to do is bigger than me. That when God calls any one of us to do any specific task, it is about making his name known to other people. So it's not just about you. Tell your neighbor, it's not just about you. Now, have courage and say this too. It's bigger than you. Amen, somebody. But not only is it bigger than you, understand this, that it also involves you. That whatever God's called you to do, God expects you to work it out. Why? Because God is working in you. Whatever God has gifted you to do, know this, that God doesn't say, okay, good luck, figure it out. No, God says, I'm inside of you, therefore you can do the work. Now tell your neighbor, do the work. Now each of us have been called. Each of us have been chosen. And I'll go as far as to say this, each of us are capable. But more importantly, each of us are invaluable. Every one of us are invaluable. And when God looks at each and every one of us, God says that you are valuable. There's not another you. And I know some of us thinking, thank God for that. Because I don't know if I can take another one of them. But you're invaluable not because of who you are. You're invaluable because of what God wants to accomplish through you. God has called each of us according to his purposes. So when God calls us, it's about him getting the glory out of our life. It's not just because you're just wonderful. So get that out your head. I'm sorry. Some of y'all thought you was really wonderful. But God says, no, you're wonderful because I made you and I called you according to my purposes. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So each of us I want you to look at me. Each of us were created to make a difference. It's not about how great you are. It's not about how little you do. God created each and every one of us to make a difference. The problem for many people is that they don't feel like they can make a difference. Because they begin to examine their own life. They examine what their background is. They feel like they've been a failure. They start looking at all these different things to essentially disqualify themselves. And I will go as far as to say this. Then in the body of Christ, we do gift comparison. I can't pray like so-and-so can pray. Because when so-and-so prays, like God hears every one of their words and move right away. For some, they think that, okay, I don't flow in my gift like other people flow in their gift. And then we make comparisons. But just write this down. Comparisons kill spiritual growth. I'm going to try that one more time. Comparisons kill spiritual growth. There are some pastors, some preachers I admire. But I would dare never to try to be like them. Because how God gifted them is how God gifted them. How God has gifted me is how God has gifted me. So how God has gifted you is how God has gifted you. And watch this, and even though we may have similar giftedness, our personality makes it very unique. Because of our experiences, it makes my calling unique. So don't begrudge the fact that God has called you. Don't begrudge the fact of your starting place. Thank God that God has called you according to his purpose. And guess what? God will use you. But I'm going to say this because I often encounter this. There's one lie that many people buy in the church. Y'all ready for this? If I wasn't here, it wouldn't even matter. That's why you'll see people who can slide out real quick because they see themselves little in the eyesight of man. Okay, let's try that one more time. If you remember in Scripture, God had called the people to the promised land. They send out spies to the promised land. They get to the promised land, and 10 of the spies looked at themselves, and they looked at them giants, and the Bible says they didn't say anything to them. Oh, gosh, thank you. They looked at themselves and said, we're like grasshoppers in our own eyesight. And that disqualified them from the journey. So when we look at and start comparing our giftedness to other people, then we will shrink ourselves on purpose and slide ourselves on out of church and think that that who I am cannot contribute to the body of Christ. Everybody, everyone matters in the body of Christ. I don't care how you're gifted. God can use you. Tell your neighbor he can use you. So when we get to our passage today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's going to illuminate two important truths, and then I'll raise up on out of here. It illuminates my girl. It's going to illuminate two important truths that we need to pay attention to. The first thing we need to pay attention to is that if our giftedness or if my talent doesn't point to Jesus, it's not a gift. Pick me up at verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. He says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Let's take our time through this. Understand, the church in Corinth was a hot mess. From the outside, they seemed to look like they were very spiritual, that they had their head on right, but internally, they were very divided. Here's three categories that they were divided on. You had some believers who believed that the only gift that mattered was the gift of tongues. And if anything, they elevated that specific gifting above every other gift, and they began to look down on everybody else. That don't happen in church, does it? Not today. The second category is that you have some believers who possess other gifts, but not tongues. But they were made to feel less than because they didn't speak in tongues. That is still something that's happening in the body of Christ. That if you're not speaking in tongues, people don't look at you as being as spiritual as they are. You ain't got to say amen. I know. I hear the talk. Because I'm on another level, baby. Get on my level. The third category, the believers who thought they don't have any spiritual gifts. So you had those who thought they were speaking in tongues, they were superior. You had those who had other gifts, they thought, hey, I'm not like them, so you know, God can't really use me. And then this last category, they didn't know what they were called to do. And they were really felt less than. And within the body of Christ, watch this, there were divisions over the topic of spiritual giftedness. Notice what Paul says when you look at verse 1. Don't miss it. Don't close your Bible. This is what Paul says. At the very beginning, he says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers. Stop right there. What Paul is suggesting, when he says brothers, he's not talking about masculine gender. He's saying, hey, we're brothers. We come from the same womb. Okay, well, Pastor, how do we come from the same womb? I'm glad you asked. Jesus says that you must be born again. And when we have been born again, we are born into a new family who has new priorities. The previous family had other priorities. They had their own agenda. In the body of Christ, he says, no, I need to be priority. I need to be preeminent in this family. Why is Jesus preeminent? I'm glad y'all asked some great questions today. The reason why he's preeminent, because he gave his life for the church. That's why he must be number one. And he says, guys, do not be divided over this issue of spiritual giftedness because you're brothers. Brothers and sisters, we come from the same place. It cannot be about big I's and little U's. We're all brothers. When I look at my children, I look at them as the same. They're my children. I won't treat one better than the other. Jesus doesn't treat any one of us better than the other because God looks at us the same. Why? Because we confess Jesus as Lord. So within the body of Christ in the Church of Corinth, guess what they were doing? They were comparing these gifts, and they said, yeah, my gift is better than your gift. My talent is better than your talent. And so they started fashioning, oh, gosh, and this is in your Bible, sort of. They start fashioning what we term cliques in the church. This is a tongue-talking clique over here. We're better than you. We don't speak in tongues, but we're giftedness, but we're better than those who don't know what they're called to do. And so what happened was in the body of Christ, they started getting divided over the issue of spiritual giftedness. But here's a problem with that. Paul tells us, just write this down, Romans chapter 16. And this, and if you don't read not another thing today, go home and read this passage. Romans 16, verses 17 through 18. Just paraphrase. He says very clearly, he says, watch out for those who cause division. That's in your Bible. He says, and he goes on, he says, stay away from them. Oh, gosh. So you need to identify those who cause division. And the Bible says, not Pastor Steve, not leadership. The Bible says, stay away from them. And he tells us why. He says, these are not serving the Christ, but their own appetites. He says the reason why they can cause division in the body of Christ is because they're not serving Jesus, but they're serving their own appetites. They don't care nothing about you. And he says, I need you to mark them. I need you to identify them and get away from them. Don't do it right now. Don't. Because it's not happening in this house, right? He says, identify them. Stay away from them. Because here's why divisions are dangerous. Because where divisions exist, the Spirit does not. Where there's divisions in the body of Christ, the Spirit of God is not present. Notice what he says in verse 3. He says this. He's distinguishing those who are in the Spirit and those who are not in the Spirit. He says those who are not in the Spirit experience idolatry. Idol worshipers cannot say Jesus is Lord. Okay, y'all looking at me kind of crazy. Idol worshipers say, okay, whatever's in front of me, whatever I can touch, feel, and experience on my own, that is now my God. Okay, y'all left me by myself. It may be a good thing that's in front of you, but if it becomes an ultimate thing, it becomes an idol. Well, what's happening in the body of Christ right here is that their idol has become spiritual giftedness. Oh, gosh. God gave them the gift. And now their gift has superseded Jesus. They had elevated the gifts so high that they're no longer looking at Jesus as Lord, but now they're calling him accursed. Just jot this down. In the Greek, when you hear the word accursed, it's the Greek word anathema. It literally means that you can't stand something. It'll be like saying, you know, the Cowboys are anathema to Pastor Steve. I can't stand the Cowboys. I'm sorry, that's kind of strong, but that's the one thing I really can't stand. I mean, it'll be like garlic is anathema to a vampire. Kryptonite is anathema to Superman. It's something that they can't stand, they can't be around. So in a sense, because they have so elevated their spiritual giftedness, now they're saying, God, I can't even stand you no more. They began to worship the gift more than the giver of the gifts. But he says now, wait a minute. He said now, those who are in the Spirit says Jesus is Lord of all at all times. That means that I'm willing to lay aside anything because Jesus is Lord in my life. So if that means I have to stop preaching to give God glory, guess what? That's what I'm going to do.
I got two amens on that. They said, Pastor, no, don't, not today.
Because spiritual giftedness is from the Lord. It's not about you. So you can't think that your giftedness is to be worshiped. Because if you start worshiping your gift, now you start lowering Jesus.
But here's the second truth, and then I'm almost done. If it doesn't benefit the body, it's not a gift.
So if your giftedness doesn't benefit the whole body, it is not a gift from the Lord.
Oh, it's getting rough through here. Okay. Pick me up at verse 4. Don't close your Bibles yet. We're still in the Bible. That's what he says. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. But there are varieties of servants, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions, who distributes to each one individually as he wills. So when you read verses 4 through 7, Paul is emphasizing that the church must be unified. Why? Because it is the same Spirit that's in each and every one of us. So just because you have one gift that's not like my gift, that doesn't mean we're divided now. We cannot form cliques because of similar giftedness. Oh, gosh. He's saying, just as God gave you the ability to speak in tongues, I gave someone else the gift of wisdom. The same Spirit that gave you the gift of wisdom, I gave him the spirit of prophecy. So it's not about forming factions, but it's about staying connected. Why? Because we are one body. Everybody say, we're one body. And what he says is very clear. He says, in all these giftedness, all these gifts, watch this, he says, is for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. And watch this, and that's not locale specific. We're talking about the church globally. So that means wherever my feet touch down, as long as there are church gathered in Jesus' name, my giftedness ought to benefit that congregation. Oh, it's getting quiet through here. So I can't be so selfish to think that my giftedness is only reserved at 18620 Kenzie Avenue. Wherever I'm walking, I'm connected to the body of Christ, and if I come in touch with a believer, guess what? My giftedness ought to bless them. Yes. So if God has given me the gift of prophecy and God sends me to somebody, I need to speak a word over their life. But I want you to pay attention in verses 8 through 10. He gives us a list of spiritual gifts. But understand something. This is not a comprehensive list. This is just a sample list. You can go and read these other passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. There's some more gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. There's another list of spiritual gifts. And let me say this parenthetically. If you're unsure of your spiritual gifts, I put in the Bible app a spiritual gifts test that you can go online and take for yourself to give you an idea of where your giftedness is. See, y'all already thinking, like, I don't know what my gift is. I thank God for resources. Somebody trying to uninstall their Bible app right now. So how do I get this off my phone? I don't want to know. Okay? Write down 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And this also reiterates this sense that all of our gifts, Brother Ron, is for the benefit of the body of Christ. He tells us very simply, he says, your gift has been given so that it can serve another person. If your gift makes you isolate yourself from other people, it is not from God. If your gift doesn't lead you to serve somebody other than yourself, that is not a gift from God. So get that out your head. God doesn't just give individual gifts for the individual for his own benefit. God gifts you so that you can benefit somebody else. Oh, it's getting rough through here. Then Paul goes on in verse 12. He says this, the human body, I love this, has many parts, but the many parts make up, watch this, the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So this is a metaphor. He's saying, although we're individuals, we make up the body of Christ. So let me give you some other examples. He says, an individual elephant is called what? An elephant. Yeah, okay, y'all missed that. Okay, it's going to be rough right through here. A single pachyderm elephant is called an... Okay, y'all going to make this hard. But when you put them all together, they're called a herd. A group of lions. Individually, they're called a... Okay, y'all with me now. But when you pull them all together, they're called a pride. A group of cheetahs is called Cheetos. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my bad. I just wanted to make sure y'all pay attention. Just they're not called Cheetos. They're called a coalition of cheetahs. A single donkey is called a group of donkeys are called a pace. An individual crow is called but a group of crows are called a murder. A murder. I promise this, that's a real thing, I promise you. Some of y'all trying to Google it right now. A group of crows. Hey, Siri, what is? And watch this. And this one scared me. An individual vulture is called a vulture, but a group of them is called a committee. So from this day forward, we won't call not another committee around here. That's why committees don't work, because they operate like vultures. They try to pick off dead folk. They just oh gosh. So here's the picture. The individual animal has a name, but when they are together, they have a new identity. Individually, I'm Stephen Bell, but corporately, I'm part of the body of Christ. So it cannot just be about me, but I'm part of something bigger than me. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So together, we are the body of Christ. So you part of the body. No, tell the person next to you, you part of this body. And you matter. Okay, I didn't like the way y'all said that to the person next to you. Talk to the other side of you. Tell the person, you matter. You've been called, you've been chosen, you are capable, and you are invaluable. The church needs you. The danger of you not participating in what God's called you to do suggests that something God wants to get done is not being done. Somewhere. If you refuse to operate in your giftedness, a part of the body of Christ, that means somewhere God's work is not being done. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So you got to be very careful. You got to be very careful. Amen? So here's a couple things. Thank you for reminding me. Here's a couple things you need to pay attention to and that you need to do over the next week. That's what I need you to do. Everybody say, let's do it. Hallelujah, like Nike. The first thing you need to do is take the spiritual gift assessment. Come on, Diane, don't get like that yet. Take the spiritual gifts assessment. All right, tell your neighbor, do it. And if you don't know where to find it, show them. Who has a Bible app on their phone? Okay, so hold them high. All right, now if you have the Bible, find that person, look around you. If they don't have the Bible out, you move close to them and show them how to get it. Why y'all laughing? And if not, I tell you what, if you don't have the Bible out, shoot me an email. I'll be sure to get that to you, I promise you. Maya, kind of wave your hand. She just recently had taken the gifts analysis. I think her giftedness was about administration, if I remember correctly. She has a gift to administer. So I need her to sit right up from here on. Amen. All right, secondly, this is what you need to do. Yeah. I
waiting on my guy. He's having trouble. Help him, Lord. And this is a big one. Attend the ministry fair. So watch what's happening. I'm going to take my spiritual gifts assessment. I'm going to know where I'm supposed to be. Next Sunday, right after service, guess where I'm going to be? At the fair, signing up somewhere. I got one amen on that. That's okay. We're going to have our security team posted up right after the service to direct everybody. Some of y'all will catch that later. We're going to have our security team in position to point you in the direction you ought to be going. And we're going to give you an opportunity to meet all of our wonderful ministry leaders. If you're a ministry leader, would you just stand up real quick, ministry leader? If you're over a ministry, would you just stand up somewhere? Why y'all act like y'all don't want to stand up? It's cold. It's affecting your knees. Amen. If you are a ministry leader, all right, you want to be a part of this one way or the other. Otherwise, you're not going to be in leadership. I'm sorry. Don't record that part. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So, again, you can be involved in starting with the ministry fair. You can get connected. And then lastly, this is what I need you to do. Y'all ready? Start doing. Start doing. Get started. Don't wait on anybody. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Once you find out what your gifting is, go to the ministry fair, get signed up, because we need you. Now, for those who's going to be staying for the congregation meeting, I want to talk more about why you're needed, okay? Because we see some things down the road, and we need each of you to be a part of that. Amen? All right. I'm done. In record time, would you bow with me for a moment? God has put a gift in each and every one of us. God so desires to use you. Your past doesn't matter. Your mistakes, your missteps doesn't matter. Your educational level doesn't matter. Matter of fact, the Bible even says about the disciples, he says that they were unlearned men who became powerful apostles of the Lord. God wants to use you. It doesn't matter what anybody else say about you. All that matters is what God says about you. You are loved. You are called. God wants to use you. And today, God is calling you to make a decision. First, would you trust me as your Lord? That is a big thing. That is to suggest, God, because you're a Lord, I'm making you the priority over my life. When you say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord, you're saying, I give you permission, I give you access to every area of my life. The way I manage my money, the way I manage my relationships, the way I steward my time. But you gotta make him priority. And that it means choosing Jesus. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm ready to choose Jesus. But I want you to know this, God, he's already chosen you. So there's no more pressure. He's chosen you. and God wants to use you. Secondly, you may be saying, Pastor, I've already chosen Jesus, but I've been preoccupied by other things. My gift hasn't benefited anybody else. I know what it is, but there have been other priorities in my life that has negated my gifts benefiting other people. And now you're saying, I'm ready to recommit myself to Jesus. I'm ready to serve. If you're here, the Lord is speaking to you that it's time to get plugged in and time to serve. But the last thing that you need to be mindful of, yes, it's good to choose Jesus, it's good to recommit, but none of that matters if you're not part of the body of Christ. If you're not plugged in to a local church, I don't care how gifted you are, it's not benefiting anybody. You may be saying, I can do church all by myself. That's a lie. I can do church from home. I can watch TV. That's a lie. We just learned God gifted you for the benefit of other people. And you need to be a part of his body. The ear can't say to the eye, you know, because I'm not you, I don't want to be a part of the body. The foot can't say to the hand, because I'm not you, I don't want to be a part of the body. And anytime there's a missing piece, it's called deformity. And the body can't be its full functioning self when all the pieces are not there. And maybe God's saying, I need you to get plugged into a local church. Not just casually come by when it's convenient for you. It's not about location. It's not about a building. No. It's about being connected to the body. And if you've been disconnected for some time, God's saying it's time to reconnect today. Thank you, Lord. Listen to the Spirit as it speaks to you. So if you're here, you're saying, I'm ready to choose Jesus for the very first time, or I'm ready to reconnect to Jesus, or I'm ready to connect to the body of Christ today, would you just raise your hand right where you are? You say, hey, I need to connect to Jesus, reconnect, or connect to his body. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? It's okay. Don't trip. He ain't through with you yet. Father, we thank you for those who are already connected to you. God, thank you for those who are already connected to the body of Christ. God, my prayer is that they will be sensitive to your voice, be led by your Spirit. I pray, God, that they will resist the temptation of being preoccupied by other things and not fully operating in their giftedness. Father, I pray that they will resist the temptation of being fearful because of the calling, because of their gift, because they feel insecure about who they are. They feel incapable. But God, I do know this, that when you call them, regardless of our own inadequacies, God, you're able to equip us for whatever you've called us to do. Father, remind them, God, that they can rest in you. And God, that you who began the good work in them, God, your word says you are faithful to accomplish that very thing in their life. May they be confident not in who they are. May they be confident in who you are. That they are called according to your purpose. So, Father, I pray that they will be courageous, that they will be strong, that they would do the work. Why? Because you are with them. And I'll push it even further. God, not only are you with them, God, you are working in them.
God, we thank you for working in us. God, thank you. God, we give your name the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand, I didn't move, that's okay. But if you want to talk to somebody right after service, make sure you grab any one of us. You see these three individuals who are standing here, they'll love to talk with you. Myself, I'll talk with you. But understand this, okay? You're not in it by yourself. You're not in this by yourself. Stop allowing the enemy to isolate you. Because the Bible says this, that the enemy walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And a lion has a tenacity, has this way of isolating this prey. And as long as you stay isolated, you become easy prey for the enemy. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Don't let the enemy win. Don't get isolated. We're standing all over the place. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for reminding us of the varieties of gifts and talents and abilities that are present in the body of Christ. Lord, I celebrate the giftings of those who are around me. And I pray, God, that we will resist the temptation of comparing ourselves to any other believer. Father, I ask, God, that you will continue to sanctify our church so that we might live up to our full potential. God, use us individually, but most importantly, God, use us corporately. May all of who we are galvanize so that we can indeed push back the darkness in our communities. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.